Hello again, this is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara LaRance. Jazz, rock, and funk fans are in for a treat tomorrow night at Western Michigan University when the Jazz Masters series continues with an appearance by trumpeter Randy Brecker. Randy Brecker was supposed to be on the program tonight, but snow and travel issues got in the way. So two Western Michigan University jazz professors stepped in to preview the concert with me. Fair warning, the opening of this interview is not my finest hour by a long shot. Tomorrow night, nearly every jazz student within a 2-mile radius of Western Michigan University is going to take part in a wonderful concert featuring a very special guest artist, Randy Brecker. If it doesn't ring a bell, it will in about 10 seconds. Once I introduce my guests this morning, trumpeter and professor of music Scott Cowan and the head of the jazz studies department and bassist Tom Kniffick.
He's golfing in Arizona as we speak.
I was just staring at Trent's name on the back of a CD here. Tom.
One of many TKs.
Do I still need to write out your name now? I don't. Do over. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Melinda.
Tom, so you're always 100% behind everything that happens in the jazz studies department, and but for this event, I've seen a rare passion from you about this artist coming to town, Randy Brecker. I know you're very excited, so let's introduce everybody to Randy Brecker, or reintroduce.
Sure. I mean, where to start? So this is one of the greatest jazz and R&B, and let's just say trumpet players of the last half of the 20th century. Within a decade, I'm pretty much on with that. And career started in the 60s, out of Philadelphia originally, did a couple years of college in Bloomington, which had a very early jazz program, Indiana University. But like off and running with the greatest hard bop players at the time. That was sort of the style at the time, you know, bop plus groove plus other things, and even before that, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, right? Like one of the great pop bands that he liked to tell the story that he quit just before their first really big hit, Spinning Wheel, and You've Made Me So Very Happy. But he was part of that scene totally. And then Horace Silver, who we just actually lost this year, one of the great, 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 you know, West Coast hard boppers, and Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And that's still only taking us to the mid-60s or mid to late 60s, and it just, you know, goes on from there. Maybe like 1,000 recordings, the heart of the studio scene. I mean, you can't, you know, throw a rock at a list of top, you know, 10, top 40 albums that he hadn't played on at one point or another. I think Rush, did I see that today? I mean, he's been like, everybody called him for the recordings. His own jazz career probably coalesced in terms of a band that he started with his brother, Michael Brecker, who was considered one of the greatest saxophonists, living saxophonists at the time. And they had the Brecker Brothers Band, fusion sort of thing, but at the highest level. I mean, those records, those LPs just like shook us to our boots when they came out. We couldn't believe that was possible, you know.
Mm-hmm. It occurred to me that if you grew up in any of the last 60 years, there's 100% chance you know a Randy Brecker solo.
Yeah, you hear him all the time. And actually, so even in the last, say, when did this sort of technology really start to hit? Like maybe 10 years ago, he hears himself sampled all the time, you know, and oftentimes without any sort of reference or remuneration. But you actually hear him even when it's just a hologram of him all the time. Even the rappers are using his sound and such.
Now, he grew up in Philadelphia, which is not Cleveland. So I'm wondering how you two came across each other so long ago.
Really beautiful story, you know, other than the fact that, you know, and Scott Cowan, who's a total, what would you call him, a devotee to this man's art and everything, you know, many of us were growing up at that time. I had a really great fortune of working with a pianist in Europe, in Poland, just after the wall came down. They were just kind of, they've always been a jazz country. They have Europe's longest running jazz festival is in Warsaw, the Jazz Jamboree. And actually, through Billy Hart, I met this pianist, and we had done a couple tours together. Sometimes it was taking Billy over. Sometimes it was just taking the, Trent. It's funny. It's funny that you should have mentioned him. But we had done a number of tours throughout Eastern Europe and Poland in particular. And then we had this idea of like stepping it up because we were getting some real cred over there, and we had done a record, a live record, and doing all their festivals. And like, you know, who would really make a presence there, who would really kind of shake things up a little bit. And we thought about Randy, and he agreed, and it turned out that he has roots from there. We ended up making a record in the mid-90s there that did very, very well. It was a European label, but it, you know, hit Downbeat and everything. And, you know, throughout the course of this interview, we could lay out the fact that that project started a longer-term relationship with this pianist, Vlodek Pavlik, that resulted in an orchestral suite recorded in the town where Randy's mother was from in Eastern Poland. And it's kind of written all about that. And actually, he won his most recent Grammy based on that record last February. We're all just jumping up and down, you know. So there's an arc.
Let's continue with Scott here. And you're a trumpeter, of course. So he must have been an early idol for you.
Yeah, he sure was. I mean, even as a kid going to summer music camps, and I happened to buy a Horace Silver album recorded in 1970 called The Pursuit of the 27th Man. Happened to have the Brecker Brothers on there, and that was one of the, I guess that was the second Horace Silver album that Randy played on. The first one was in 1969, You Gotta Take a Little Love, and he just completely knocked me out. As Tom was saying, not only is he a great composer and a great jazz trumpet player, but he's just a great trumpet player, period. If he had chosen any genre of music as a trumpet player, he's a prodigy, virtuosic in what he can do on the instrument. It's a little bit frustrating.
How dare he?
As a fellow trumpeter, I mean, it just... amazing, and he's had such a vast, long career on the instrument. And you know, I recall a story that Dizzy Gillespie once had communicated about just the physical act of playing the trumpet. Each day is a big question mark as to who's going to win the day. Will it be the player or will it be the trumpet? So it's just from that point of view, just amazing just to hear him play the instrument. And then with his lines and his portfolio and his package, being, as Tom mentioned, from the hard bop era and the contemporary kinds of things that he throws into his portfolio are so engaging. And it's just an awesome thing to hear him play.
I did notice at the bottom of the Wikipedia page on Randy Brecker that someone has published a study of 12 Randy Brecker solos that you can read and you know, study how he puts music together.
There's more than that out there.
There's the Baber solo. There's a book published just of his compositions, and you can buy his music like as a package to, you know, just publications of that.
Did he, because he was so well recorded and with so many different groups and bands, did he sort of, was he able to take his knowledge of one genre and apply it to another and then cross genres, and then did it all somehow sort of evolutionarily help him to hang out with lots of different kinds of musicians?
I absolutely think that's the case. And I also think that he's made a lot of different kinds of music better for it. Do you know what I mean? Because he would bring his harmonic and phrasing knowledge from the bop and hard bop world, and you'd hear that in like fusion situations where it definitely elevates the musical content. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, you know, if you run around with him and some of these festivals, there'd be a wide variety of groups playing, you know, with us, and some pretty, you know, Lenny White and some really funky groups. And he absolutely loves that. I mean, he became more animated around those situations than almost anything else. So he'll take his knowledge and understanding of those grooves and rhythms and imply those into some of his more jazzy compositions, then that gets deepened, you know, in his own way. So he's really fertilized a lot of wonderful things.
Well, we have a lot more to discuss about Randy Brecker, but I would like to remind listeners that Randy Brecker will be in Kalamazoo performing tomorrow night with several groups from Western Michigan University, the Western Jazz Quartet, the Advanced Jazz Combo, the University Jazz Orchestra, and the Jazz Lab Band in a concert featuring his music starting at 7:30 at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets available at the door or before that through the Miller Auditorium box office or call 387-2300. Let's take a musical break. The album is called Turtles, I believe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What was the track you picked?
I think we'd Moontide. I wanted to pick one of his compositions. This was from a studio that in Warsaw, beautiful, beautiful studio, and one of several of Randy's tunes that we recorded.
Music from an album featuring Randy Brecker and the Vlodek Pavlik Quartet, which features some very familiar names, such as Tom Kinnifick and Trent Kinniston, heard in that soloing in that tune called Moontide. Randy Brecker is the guest of the Jazz Department at Western Michigan University, and he will be on stage with the students and the Western Jazz Quartet tomorrow night in a concert at 7:30. Tickets at the door or available now at MillerAuditorium.com or 387-2300. My guests are Tom Kinnifick and Scott Cowan, who has been poring over a printout of the available recordings that Randy Brecker has appeared on or soloed on.
Yes, it's an incomplete discography that's 16 pages in length. Only goes up to 2006. Very overwhelming.
So it's your job to somehow condense Randy's career in an introduction. Is that what you're trying?
Something like that.
Well, good luck. He's done too much with too many people.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I imagine it helped that he had an equally brilliant brother when he was growing up, Michael.
That was such a beautiful thing, and I was trying to think of a parallel to that to one of my students, you know, because it's funny how generations work, you know, 10 years later, 15 years later, and that generation of student, it's history. It's not like, you know, in your life and something here. So I was trying to tune a particular student into, like, how powerful that relationship was. And I actually had a hard time coming up with another fraternal situation that really matched it emotionally and musically and technically. I mean, there's a lot of people who could point to, you know, familial band relationships, but I really could not, and please, you know, pitch in here if you can think of it, but I couldn't think of another duo of brothers that you know, had so much mutual respect that pushed their instruments and the music so far and, you know, kept the thing going and gave us so much, you know.
Maybe the closest I could think of it, maybe the Adderley brothers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, but you're right. Other than that, lots of families in jazz, but very special.
Who was the older and who was the younger?
Boy, I thought that Randy was the older, but now you're making me wonder because he's still with us.
He is.
But he was, and we know that we lost his, you know, Michael to a very, you know, too early into a very complicated disease, and that was very, very hard. I remember talking to him around that time, and it was a tremendous loss to him personally and obviously to the musical world at large.
It's been about 8 years, I think, and he continues to pay homage to his brother in his concerts, playing his compositions.
Yeah.
They would write together, I assume.
Yeah, they did. They still have reunion bands and do that, re-release things, and it's kept alive. The spirit and the flame are kept alive.
I need to hear about how much the students have been working prior to this appearance by Randy Brecker, who is sort of the cherry on top of this concert tomorrow night. Who's been coaching what?
We've started with the music in the late, you know, because there's always projects going on. It's one of those things that we don't really have any... there's no time off, is there? There's like no time to... So, we went from one project in November into preparing for both Miguel Zinan, who's coming for our festival, who writes some of the most difficult music on the planet. And that started in December, along with preparing for Randy Brecker's things, like the week just before the winter break. And then you have this vast break for us that, you know, just hoping everybody retains. And then we've had, you know, just a few weeks, 3 weeks really since then, to put the Jazz Lab Band on stage with him, Jazz Orchestra directed by Scott, the Advanced Jazz Combo, who's actually arranging works of his. They took two works of Randy Brecker and rewrote them for the ensemble and to feature him. And then, of course, the Western Jazz Quartet with Scott. And we should mention Edward Simon, our brilliant artist in residence, who's actually playing the piano chair in that concert tomorrow night as well.
I love Edward Simon so much.
Everybody loves Edward Simon.
He's a Venezuelan jazz pianist who was with Paquita de Rivera for a long time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He went to Ireland and recorded an album called Danny Boy that I love.
There we go. It all comes home. Well, he'll be flying in tonight from San Francisco. He's also a member of the San Francisco Jazz Collective. And this is, it's amazing. Talk about time flying. This is his third year as a visiting artist in residence with us. He comes in several times a year to teach and play. And it seems like only yesterday, you know, I was having that initial conversation about how this might work and, you know, what we might do. And now we're almost done with year three with him. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Randy Brecker also has a history of breaking the rules in the world of jazz. And it reminded me a little of the Kalamazoo Symphony performed Ein Heldenleben earlier this year, A Hero's Life. And as it turns out, Richard Strauss was considering himself the hero, and he was battling critics. It was all about him versus the nasty little voices saying he could or couldn't do what he wanted to do. And I've seen some of Randy's writing, and I know that he has taken some hits on the chin from critics who thought he was doing a disservice to jazz.
Do you want to address that, or shall
I'll
I?
I'll let you address
that. Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about, you know, I think music historians play a vital role, and sometimes that even music criticism is imbued with a sense of music history, and sometimes that crossover is, it's a healthy thing. It's always great to have people talking and writing and promoting the works of artists and reviewing them and everything, but you know, very few critics can actually have the vision of somebody like Randy, who's, you know, so comfortable and so successful in different areas. Yeah, you know, I think most artists can't have that sort of breadth of awareness and artistry. So, that, you know, how would you expect somebody who's just, you know, somebody that's observing it to appreciate that? So,
I think you're putting the nicest spin on.
Giving
the critics a lot of leeway here.
You know, they do what they can. That's really how I feel. I mean, they're probably doing the only thing they know, and of course, it's incomplete, and it's, you know, not in the worst cases, it's not helpful. You know, in the best cases, sometimes they help promote, you know, talent, but. Can't live with them, can't live without them, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we can live without them. What do you think?
What would you say about, you know, Randy creating new genres and then being told he's broken the music or something?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, anybody that can appreciate a jazz sensibility can hear, no matter what kind of environment that he's found in musically, that he's still paying homage to his roots. You hear him solo, it doesn't matter what's going on, whether it's a hip-hop or funk, you're still going to hear those hard bop, contemporary bebop-ish kinds of lines and that are so fluid, along with his own spin on things. And really, as Tom's already communicated, he's taken the best, the harmonic sensibilities that jazz has to offer, the sophistication, and then he has sort of coupled that with the excitement that R&B and funk provide with the rhythm. And he has provided a very sophisticated packaging that what is so riveting, as Tom mentioned earlier, when we all heard these recordings come out, it was like, oh my gosh, there's that, you know, the James Brown or funkadelic kind of sensibility from that vantage point. But then there's the harmonic sophistication, and then listen to the improvisation that he's doing. It was like, whoa, hello.
Mind-blowing.
And these so-called experiments of the time are now still, like, great pieces to dig into,
yeah,
and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had this quick thought, leaving the critics, but I just remember talking to somebody recently. You know, we talk about Astor Piazzolla, who seems like a national, global figure of how this music should be done. But, you know, somebody took a gun to him for what he did to tango in his native country. I don't know if you know that, but some years ago, I mean, the critic was so upset that they threatened his life. So there's critics for you.
Randy Brecker is featured tomorrow night at 7:30 in a concert with the Western Jazz Quartet, the Advanced Jazz Combo, the University Jazz Orchestra, the Jazz Lab Band, playing Charts by Randy Brecker, new arrangements, and even a work by Scott Cowan we'll have to talk about. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night, and tickets will be available at the door, or check the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events.
I do want to throw out one thing. We haven't mentioned that this is a university series. It's the WMU Jazz Masters, and Randy Brecker is the 2015 WMU Jazz Masters. It's the highest accolade that our university pays and supports in terms of this series. I think we're in our fifth year, and we've had nothing but great guests. Joe Lovano, we were in the studio with last year, New York Voices before that. And John Clayton. We've got to give a big shout out because the university supports this wholeheartedly, and we wouldn't be doing this without it. It's not just a jazz studies or School of Music project. This is a WMU project to bring great artists to the community and help develop and foster an appreciation within the community to come and see, you know, a great artist, and also to give our students real face time, real stage time with these artists.
Hear, hear.
And we've had lots of practice taking snow off our cars and scraping the windshields over the last few days, so don't let anything stop you if you can help it for tomorrow night.
Thank you.
That is Thursday night, Jazz Master Randy Brecker. One of the pieces that has kind of a fun title, he does like his titles that make you giggle. This one's called The Sleaze Factor, and I believe it's on the show tomorrow night. Maybe
yes.
You can set this up.
Right. This is an arrangement by Mike Crotty. Mike was the musical director for the Airmen of Note for decades. Wonderful arranger. And so this is Randy's commentary on the recording industry. That's where this comes from. And it's a lovely selection. It's just quintessential Randy Brecker. It's really fun.
For a tune called Sleaze Factor that's quite groovy. My guests are Scott Cowan and Tom Kanifik, who are both very excited to see the jazz master, Randy Brecker, appear with the University Jazz Ensembles tomorrow night. Works they've been preparing for several weeks here, and it should be quite an electrifying concert tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. So I know that for you it's really a premium to make sure that these jazz artists don't just breeze in and breeze out. They need to you know, leave the kids with something.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's going to happen behind the scenes?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things, including, I can spill the beans that he was to have been here this morning. His flight from New York was snowed out last night, although it looked clear there and didn't look too bad here, but a lot of people have been stranded in and out of the two airports. So he'll be in shortly today, and he'll start with a rehearsal with the Advanced Jazz Combo, and then we will have a dress rehearsal on the stage of the Union tonight. He'll do a master class tomorrow at 11 a.m., rehearsal with the Western Jazz Quartet, rehearsal with the University Jazz Lab Band, a jazz orchestra today, and then he's going to be part of a transcription class that Scott Cowan has organized. They did it several years ago. It was a great success, where students present transcriptions of major jazz trumpet solos. Sound check and then the concert. How does that sound like a great 48 hours?
I think you succeeded in your mission to get maximum value here.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I do have to say, looking at his biography, that Randy Brecker must be one of the nicest people in the business to work with, or else he wouldn't have been everywhere all the time for so many decades.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sometimes, you feel bad. You know that. You're cognizant of that. You've worked with him. You've seen his lifestyle. And then you're asking him to do a lot of things. You almost feel like you're asking too much. But, virtually it's like, just let me know what you want. I'll do anything for you, whatever you want. And it's like it comes back like that. And it's really hard not to feel very, very endeared to the man in the artistry.
Well, yeah, I'm sure in his off time you'll be there to help him relax and
yeah.
hang out with some friends
as you've known
him for quite a while.
Yeah.
How about you, Scott? Have you hung out with Randy Brecker in the past?
You know, this is the fourth time I've been able to work with him. I first got acquainted with him when I was a doctoral student down in Miami, and he was brought in to do a festival down there, so I got a chance to kind of hang out with him a little bit down there. And then the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra brought him in about 10 years ago, and I was able to hang out with him in performance up there, and then we've had him here a number of years ago, and here he is again, so...
I'm going to throw in something, because you may or may not remember this, but I was communicating with Randy around the time that he did the thing with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, and he didn't really know you as a professional yet then, and he says, "Tom, I'm playing in Grand Rapids with this big band, and I heard this guy, it's Scott Cowan, he scared the blank 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 out of me." You're warming up or whatever you were doing. I said, "Yeah, that's my boy. That's our new boy, man. He's our new faculty." But whatever you were doing, he offered that.
Oh, well, that was the one lick that I knew. I guess that was good enough.
It worked.
You must be very pleased that he's going to play on one of your pieces tomorrow night, Reflection.
Oh, I'm ecstatic. I mean, that just goes to show what an incredibly nice individual he is to begin with. And obviously he'll bring the whole level of this world premiere of this composition called Reflection. It was recorded on my last album. And I had finally had some real motivation and some time to blow it up into a full big band chart. And kind of threw it out to him. And he said, "Sure, love to." And I've already, sent him the part and said, "Looks great." He's just, what a great guy.
So. For someone who just must play 18, 19 hours a day. Another thing that I personally, as a woman, kind of noticed about his biography is his support of women in jazz. To the point of having fallen in love with a couple of them, Eliana Elias.
Elias, yeah.
And currently he's married to a female jazz saxophonist.
Ada Rovati.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
It's spectacular. And he's actually, been very involved in their careers, too. It's, more than just a romantic relationship. And the recording that you just played was basically influenced by Brazil, that entire CD. And that's certainly, in his love for Brazilian music and going down and spending time there is all a result of that, certainly. And then Ada's, you'll see her on stage with him. And we're performing a piece of Randy's wife, Ada Rovati, with the Western Jazz Quartet. It's called O Corco Mio.
Cork as in Cork, Ireland?
Cork, Ireland. There's a jazz festival there, and she really loved it. They performed it together, and she was just so moved and wanted to do an homage. And, of course, she's from Italy, so what could she do?
It is so great to see women's filling out roles beyond a jazz singer. More and more, you get to see some great soloists out there now, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's a fireball.
Well, again, let's remind folks, the concert tomorrow night, 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, featuring the jazz ensembles of Western Michigan University from the faculty group, the Western Jazz Quartet. And Scott, you're going to be joining in on the quartet.
Yes, I get a chance to join the fun there in one of those selections. So
Edward Simon is the pianist, the wonderful Venezuelan pianist.
Yeah.
University Jazz Lab Band, the Jazz Orchestra. It'll be a terrific night.
It's wild what goes on here in this town, isn't it? It's
Well, you guys, any last thoughts before we finish up with some music here?
We're talking about a legend. We're talking about somebody on what we're thinking, maybe 1,000 recordings, you know. And, you know, who knows, next time we'll be able to present him in Kalamazoo, we hope soon, but it's, you know, his schedule is such that
he's probably booked till 2020.
Oh, absolutely. So it's one of these things, if you have, you know, if you ever enjoyed his recordings from Blood, Sweat, and Tears on to, you know, the latest things of today, the last Grammy from last year, it's a chance to be near a legend and have him share with not just the faculty, but like with basically every jazz instrumentalist student on campus. It's remarkable.
Yeah, don't miss it. Don't miss it. That's all I can tell you. It's going to be a full diet of artistry at a level that can't be missed.
Well, I'm sorry he missed his flight and couldn't be here this morning, but I think you two did a great job of getting people excited to have Randy Brecker in town, and let's hope his travels go well today.
Yeah, he's on his way. We know that.
Okay. Tom and Scott, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you, Kara.
Close here with Follow the Stars from A Night in Kalesia, the Amber Road Project. Randy Brecker plays Vlodek Pavlik. That's trumpeter Randy Brecker featured in a tune called Follow the Stars by Vlodek Pavlik, an album called A Night in Kalesia, which won a 2013 Grammy Award. Randy Brecker is a multi-Grammy Award-winning artist. He appears with the Western Jazz Ensembles tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Details online at wmich.edu/music. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me tonight for WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan.